Hey everybody, Mark Ashton here, coming to you from the Detroit International Airport, right in front of the men's room, where I'm giving you a little bit of a glimpse of what's happening for our June 11th accelerator from 2 Kings 8 through 10. Now, I don't know about you, but after reading through this, I thought this would make a great kind of R-rated movie, an adventure action type of movie. I could see it right now. Star Wars, The Revenge of the Jehu. Well, the scenes would include the tragic death of Ahaziah, the revenge on Joram, all of Ahab's family, Jezebel going splat from the window, and a basket full of the 70 heads of Joram. I mean, this is gross stuff throughout the entire three chapters that we read. Now, you need to follow today's reading closely, though, because it's one of the few times that Israel and Judah's fates are intertwined. Today, I'm mostly just going to review the storyline to make sure that you're following, because this can be a confusing but very important moment. Okay, so Ahaziah is king in the southern kingdom of Judah. He became a young king at the tender age of 22 when his dad, Jehoram, and all his brothers got killed. Nobody really cared that Papa Jehoram got the axe and Mommy Dearest, aka Athaliah, encouraged him to do wrong during the entirety of his kingship. Perhaps this is why Ahaziah is in cahoots with the always wicked northern kingdom. His grandpa on his dad's side, King Jehoshaphat, would have never stood for that. But his grandpa on his mom's side, King Ahab, well, that was exactly what he wanted to have happen. So the southern kingdom was willing to dance the deadly dance and the deceiving dance of King Joram by the time that Ahaziah was the king. So just so you have a little bit of an idea of what's going on here, I've made for you a very advanced map of what's happening in this scene. Right now, Ahaziah, who comes from Jerusalem, where his capital is up in this city called Jezreel. Why is he up there? Well, his buddy, King Joram, got hurt in battle at Ramoth-Gilead and came across to Jezreel in order to heal. So at this point, Ahaziah visits him in Jezreel. Okay, back up to the northern kingdom of wickedness. Joram, of course, is on the throne. And when the prophet Elisha sends word to a general named Jehu and his servant, and he says, what we need to do right now is to anoint Jehu as the next king of Israel, and gave that commander, Jehu, some instruction with regard to what he must, as God's representative, do to secure the throne. God used Jehu, of course, to bring final judgment on the family of Ahab, who was that great evil family in the northern kingdom, and the household of Omri, and in particular, for all of the wickedness that they had perpetrated during their reigns, just as it was predicted. Now, Elisha the prophet is, of course, still alive. He's anointing Jehu, but after this, he fades into obscurity following the anointing of Israel's new monarch. So we go back up here to Ramoth-Gilead. That's where the anointing happened of Jehu. And Jehu, knowing that he needed to get back to Jezreel before word found out that he was anointed the new king, he starts driving like crazy from Ramoth-Gilead to Jezreel. He knows if other people get word to Jezreel first before he gets there, he'll be in big trouble. They'll have an army waiting for him, but he wants the element of surprise. So he drives, and when they see him coming, they say he's driving like a madman. It looks like Jehu. That's why Jehu became the patron saint of taxi drivers, who also drive like madmen. All right. Well, Joram and King Ahaziah, who was visiting in Jezreel at this point, buzzed out to meet Jehu. They meet him at the vineyard of Naboth. Remember, that's the property that had been gained by Ahab's family through the cunning of Jezebel, and for which the prophet Elijah announced a curse upon them. Jehu minced no words about his purpose. When Joram asked, "Have you come in peace?" Jehu says this comment, "What peace, so long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many?" Well, this comment gripped King Joram with fear. He shouted a warning to Ahaziah and he began to flee. But before he had time to even be bound to his own chariot, Jehu shot him with an arrow. And before he began the chase of Ahaziah, he gave commands concerning the disposition of Joram's body. The Lord had commanded that the body be thrown on that ill-gotten property of Naboth, and the blood of Naboth thereby was finally avenged. Well, when you go back to the map here, you'll find that all this action happened in Jezreel. And Ahaziah began to flee to Beth Hagan, where he got injured and went to the city of Megiddo. At this point, Jehu turns around and goes back to Jezreel in order to exact his judgment on the queen mother, Jezebel. And this story comes out in a very, very interesting kind of a way. Because you'll remember that his commission was to put Jezebel to death. Well, when Jezebel heard that Jehu was coming, what does she do? She paints her face. She puts on her makeup. She gets ready for an encounter. It may seem strange that she'd worry about cosmetics at a time like this, but Jezebel was going to die just like she had lived, cutting a memorable figure. She didn't beg for mercy. Like a Hollywood vamp, she dressed up for the showdown and waited at the window to talk to the man who came to deal with her. She called him Zimri, recalling the fate of the one who had overthrown the last dynasty. This was the last king killer that came along. So she says, It is well, Zimri, your master's murderer. She was about to die, but she was going to get her jabs in first. This woman, however, had inspired no loyalty, and even her own eunuchs, her own servants, were happy to throw her over the edge of the balcony and watch her go splat on the sidewalk below. Eventually, her blood goes on the sidewalk, and the dogs licked it up where she laid, just the way that Elijah had predicted. Well, faced with the need to secure his kingdom, Jehu moves from Jezreel back down to Samaria. Why? Because that's where the 70 sons of the king had lived. He sets up this interesting challenge to the people that were overseeing the 70 sons of Ahab, saying, hey, why don't you set up one of them as the king and then come on out and fight me? Well, the people didn't want to fight him, so they said, we'll go ahead and kill those 70 kids for you and send their heads up the road. And so that's exactly what they did. And there's a pile of heads at the end of this scene right in front of Jehu. A very violent chapter that reestablishes the kingdoms in both the north and the south. Well, that's the storyline. I just want to leave you with one short but crazy thought today. You know, all this violence, all this mayhem was a part of God's plan. As a matter of fact, it was even inspired by Elisha saying, going to Jehu and saying, you're the new king, make it happen. So when crazy things happen in our culture, in our government, in your business, in your family, you need to know that God is still in charge, even if history is unfolding in surprising ways, and even if things look chaotic for now. Well, this is Mark Ashton, inspiring you to hold on to God, no matter what the circumstances are around you.